The Indonesian president, Joko Widodo, has announced that the radical cleric, Abu Bakar Bashir, will only be freed from prison if he pledges loyalty to Indonesia. The 81-year-old has spent 9 years in prison for financing terrorism training camps, but is also considered to be the mastermind of the 2002 Bali bombings, in which 200 people were killed, including, of course, 88 Australians. Survivors and relatives of the victims reacted with anger this week when the Indonesian government first announced that Abu Bakar Bashir would be released unconditionally. John McCarthy is a former Australian ambassador to Indonesia. He joins me in the Breakfast studio. John McCarthy, welcome back to Breakfast.
Morning, Fran. Thank you.
So President Widodo says if Abu Bakar Bashir gets released anytime soon, it will have conditions placed upon it. The cleric will now have to pledge loyalty to Indonesia. Does that make any difference in your view? Are those conditions strict enough or meaningful?
Well, it will make a certain amount of difference. If he's released, he first has to sign a pledge to honour the principles of the Indonesian state, which includes a secular government. Now, he's always declined to do that. So that issue still has to be resolved. But, of course, were he to be released, it would be better that he be released under strict conditions than released unconditionally.
And let's talk about that. We heard from the Foreign Minister, Maurice Payne, a little earlier on AM, talking about the potential release. And the Australian government has a view on how, if that should ever happen and how it should happen. Let's have a listen.
We have been very clear in our concerns that this person, it is imperative that he never be allowed, he never be in a position to incite others to carry out other future attacks against innocent civilians, as was the case previously.
So that's the Foreign Minister of Australia saying he should never be permitted to incite others to commit acts like the Bali bombings should he be released. Can that ever be guaranteed, do you think?
Well, it's always difficult to guarantee. But if the government in Indonesia is indeed going to move in that direction, it is better that they at least make a serious attempt to put in place conditions.
Do we have any sense of how much power this cleric actually has? He's 81 years old. He's apparently not in good health. Jemaah Islamiyah, the group that he was the sort of spiritual head of, is no longer in existence. There are splinter groups from that, of course. Can we assume that he has lost influence, or that would change if he's released? He would be a beacon, if you like.
He's certainly lost a certain amount of influence since he's been in jail, and I think the terrorist movement, the Islamist movement in Indonesia, which has, when I say Islamist, I mean Islamist, which is behind terrorism, that has morphed in the last 15 years from being something which was basically Al-Qaeda and Jemaah Islamiyah, then to ISIS, and it's now moving more towards self-radicalizing groups and the sort of beacon that that Bashir once was. He isn't to the same degree today, but it would certainly affect the atmospherics of counter-terrorism in Indonesia. It might necessarily increase the risk of terrorist acts, but it would be a signal that the strong counter-terrorism mood and policy in Indonesia has been impacted.
John, what prompted this mood, do you think, from the president, this move for him to announce the unconditional release initially of Abu Bakar Bashir? It was seen initially as in the context of an election 3 months away where Joko Widodo might be in trouble with hardline Muslims within Indonesia. Yet all reports are this has really played negatively domestically for him.
Well, it certainly played negatively with those Indonesians who take the security issues very seriously, and that includes people in his own party and in his own government. He has, however, over the last 2 or 3 years, been ultra-conscious and ultra-concerned about the impact of Islamist views, Islamic views, if you like, on his re-election prospects. And that led him to not to support AHOC, the governor of Jakarta, when he was imprisoned. It led him to pick a strong, rather fervent Islamic and senior Islamic cleric as his vice president. And I think it's a factor quite clearly in the attitude that he initially took on Bashir's release.
So what then if he seems to be backpedaling? What, they just put that up in lights?
That's a political equation he has to work out. And it seems to me that he's got himself in something of a mess.
You mentioned the governor, former governor of Jakarta, Ahok, Christian governor who's been in prison. I understand this week he gets released as well. Do you think there's any connection?
I think there are timing factors involved.
What would they be?
Well, I think the release of Ahok is obviously going to raise in the public profile these questions of Jokowi's approach to Islam, the criticisms he will get from Islam will get another airing with the release of Ahok. I think all these factors have played into the timing.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 3 minutes to eight. Our guest is John McCarthy, former Australian ambassador to Indonesia. Not surprisingly, the announcement played very badly in Australia, particularly with those affected by the Bali bombings, either caught up in themselves directly or the family of those who were killed, 88 Australians killed. Yet our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, has tread pretty carefully around this issue. He hasn't pressed Indonesia hard publicly. He's referring, he said that Indonesia needs to show great respect for Australia and how they manage this issue. Does that surprise you? Do you think he should have gone further, or what's at play here?
What's at play is simply this, and I think Morrison's been sensible in the way he's approached this. If foreign, quite clearly foreign pressures are seen in Indonesia to be being brought to bear on Jokowi, it is harder for him to take the sort of approach we would like him to take, in other words, a reasonably strict approach on Bashir, because the Islamic side of politics in Indonesia will then turn round and say the president is being pressured by foreign powers, and that's obviously undesirable in the political calculations that Jokowi has to make. It has to be made.
So at this point in the political cycle, basically Australia has, if it ever has much, but little influence, even though we have such tight counter-security connections, counter-intelligence connections?
Yes, but the people with whom we have very strong relations on counter-terrorism would take the approach that we do anyway.
So just finally, as a former ambassador in Indonesia, if you were there at this moment, would there be conversations going on quietly between the likes of you and foreign ministry officials in Indonesia?
Yeah, daily, yeah.
And do you believe they would be having much influence behind the scenes?
Some, but the more influence we would have, the influence we would have would very much depend on the pitch of our representations. Thus far, the pitch has been pretty right. If we got too strident in our approach to Indonesia, it would quite clearly, I think, be counterproductive.
John McCarthy, thank you very much for joining us.
You're most welcome, Fran.
John McCarthy is a former Australian ambassador to Indonesia and other places. He's now national president of the Australian Institute of International Affairs.